It's my pleasure to welcome you on the first Lord's Day of a new year as we enter 2022. And we welcome you as always in the Saviour's precious and all-prevailing name. I'm going to worship God today in the singing of the hymn 727. We're standing at the portal of the opening year. And we're going to sing about it now as we start this year together in the service of the Lord. The psalm for today, this first Lord's Day of the year, is the Psalm 99. Let's read it together as we come to the throne of grace just in a moment or two. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And you see in this short psalm the emphasis that is given to the holiness of God. And we ought to remember that every time, especially we come to worship, come to his presence, come to his house. We've been asking the congregation to remember our sister Margaret Carey in hospital. She should be getting out today and awaits a procedure being done in the near future. Horace Strong is also in the Causeway Hospital. Remember him in prayer, and also those suffering with COVID. We've been asked to pray for a pastor from the Church of the Nazarene down there in Lurgan, who's very seriously ill in hospital with COVID, and others that are suffering at this time. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're standing at the portal of another year. In fact, we have entered through that portal. The Lord has brought us into the year 2022, and we thank you for that, for our health, our strength, soundness of body and mind, God's provision to us every day, physically, temporally, and spiritually. We praise thee for the many fresh opportunities that are before us as we contemplate another year of Christian service, another year of worship in this house, another year of reaching out to the community in this town and round about with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, another year of growing in grace, and we do pray that there will be that growth. We know that without fruit, there's no evidence of redemption and salvation. And we pray that your people that are truly your people will be fruit bearers, that will bring forth that fruit that is meet for repentance, as the scripture speaks about. We pray that you will help us to go on with God, to run the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you today for all that are here. And Lord, we think of those that are not, and some are laid aside through sickness, infirmity, indeed some in hospital, some suffering at home. And our minds are upon them also as we come to the Lord now in prayer, as we commit our church family to the Lord. We do pray for those that are laid aside through illness, that your touch will be upon their bodies, that you will bring healing to them this very day. We also mourn over those that have turned aside, maybe even turned away from the Lord, and no longer are they found in God's house to worship at your command. We pray that this will be a year of restoration. We pray that there'll be a bringing back to Christ. We pray that the focus will be placed upon him again. Soon we will come as your people to sit at the table and remember the death of our dear Savior and all the sufferings that he went through when he was crucified for our sin, when he was made sinner, sin, treated as a sinner, became as a sinner in the sight of God to be punished for our sin. Though he himself had no personal sin of his own, yet he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We look forward to that time of remembering Christ, but we do pray for the backslider, and we pray for those that have turned aside from the Lord, that you will get their gaze upon Christ and him crucified. There is not a greater motivation to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, than to see him in his great work of atonement when he was crucified for us. And so may we turn our eyes upon Jesus. May we look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We remember those that sorrow also. We know that loved ones in these latter days, over the past week or two, have been taken. And there are hearts that are heavy and sad even on the first Lord's Day of this year. We pray that thou wilt be their comfort. And help us, Lord, at the beginning of this year to give ourselves afresh to the Lord, to consecrate our service to him. Think of that question that is asked by King David in 1 Chronicles 29. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And as we listen to that Bible question, Lord, may we be a people who will immediately respond and say, I'm willing on this day, this first Lord's Day, to give myself afresh to Christ, to hand over my life to him, to pray that the one who is the potter might mold us the clay in his hand and fashion us after the divine will. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And may we mean that in our heart, not just today, not just at the moment of a new Sabbath day of this year, but Lord, the whole year through, to be able to consecrate our service to the one who's worthy. Bless family night tonight, and our brother Ford as he comes to give us testimony, relate to us how the Lord not only saved him, but brought him through difficulty and trial and sorrow and grief in his family. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon him, and that he might speak well for the Lord, and that our hearts will be blessed and challenged, that God Almighty will speak with us. May this be such a day when God comes down from glory, tabernacles in our midst, moves in our hearts, speaks to our souls. We want a meeting with God today, all the day through. Bless that which has already taken place in Sunday school and in Bible class. We love our young people. We covet our children and our young people for the Lord. We pray that you'll bless them with God's salvation. We pray that you'll bless them with a determination to go on with God. May they be lights in a darkened world to their friends, to their neighbors, that Christ might be seen in them. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to you on this first Lord's Day of a new year. It's good to see all who have come, and to those that are listening in on the internet. If that's you today, welcome to Hebron as you become part of the service here. I have a little thank you card that I want to read from Jonathan, Ruth, Rebecca and Lewis. It's addressed to myself and the Hebron family. We just want to thank you all for the love you have shown towards us as a family, both during Mom's sickness and her home calling. We especially thank Mr. Park for his love and care as a pastor and for leading her funeral. We know his words will not return void. Our mom had been praying that the Lord would take her home for some time, but knew she had to wait for his timing. Her life spoke to many who cared for her, as she always assured them that she was ready to go home to heaven with a big smile and a twinkle in her eye. As we sang her favorite hymn, Life at Best is Very Brief, at her graveside, I could still see her pointing her finger as she sang the words, be in time. I know that's what she would have said to all her friends and family that were gathered that day. We are comforted that she is rejoicing now in heaven, in the presence of her Lord and Savior, and has reunited with all those that have gone before. 2 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, high, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." God bless Jonathan, Ruth, Rebecca, and Lewis. Could I just mention that there are some pamphlets, Vision for Kids. It's their update newsletter, and they're on the table there. If you didn't get one coming in today, they're there for you. You can get one after the service or tonight. Please remember that the Lord's table will follow this worship service. This is a special time for God's people. You are invited, in fact, commanded by the Lord, this do in remembrance of me. And it is the mind and will of God that we come and sit together and think of Christ's atoning death for us, so that we are in memory, that we keep in memory the great work that he accomplished. We will have the opportunity, God willing, to receive in new members as well. We look forward to that. This day we also have a time of prayer for the elders and the committee of the church, and that will be at 5:30. Our regular prayer meeting will be at 6:15 tonight, and the family night service at 7:00. And as we've announced, Ford Arnold will be coming to give his testimony. That's a little invitation that you'll have seen if you have Facebook and without, and we send it out in the WhatsApp group as well. So as he comes to relate to us how difficult it was to lose 3 brothers, and especially in more recent months, the great loss that Matthew was to him and the family, you pray that God will help him relate the story. Monday to Friday each morning is the Minister's Week of Prayer, and that will take place by Zoom. Friday night is our missionary weekend, or begins our missionary weekend at 8 o'clock. And we will have in-house Joanne Greer with us, Joy Gillespie with us. And we will have a live link-up, if technology comes together, with Uganda. Our sister Noreen is our missionary there. And we will also have the Reverend David McMillan and Mr. Alistair Hamilton, who are visiting Uganda. If everything goes well with their trip there and nothing intervenes to stop them, the live link up will be with the 3 of the Lord's servants in Uganda. The chairman of the mission board will be the guest speaker, the Reverend Ian Harris. You pray for him as he comes. I see Thursday night we will have a time of prayer here on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, so keep that in mind. Saturday, the open air is at 11 o'clock, and we encourage you to come and stand with us at that time. Saturday is also a special fundraiser for the school. It's a New Year breakfast in the Carson Complex, and that's from 8:30 to 12:30. So probably as you get on in the morning, it's more like brunch or lunch, depending on the time that you arrive. There's leaflets available. They're at the door as you go out today. Please take one and come and support the school. If you can help in any way, by help I mean those that are able to do this. We don't want anybody that's going to burn the toast or fry the egg and tell you it's unrecognizable. But I'm only kidding. If you can help, see Mervyn or Lydia, isn't that right? And if you want it delivered, it'll cost you an extra £20. All right? So Meals on Wheels will be more expensive to get it out to you. But all this is to raise money for the Christian school. Do remember next Lord's Day, the early time of prayer, 8 o'clock. We had a good start to the day, a good start to the year, as we came to pray earlier in the church. And we invite God's people to come, to take this prayer meeting seriously. If you can, rise and pray with us. Sabbath school at 10:30. Bible class at the same time as Phil deals with the doctrine of personal devotion, and he will come to our prayer life. The missionary weekend continues. You'll note that there's no Saturday night meeting. We didn't have the weekend last year, but we're glad we're going for the Friday night, and also, God willing, the two services on the Lord's Day. The worship service is 12 noon. There will be missionary reports from around the world, and I'll be preaching, God willing, next Sunday morning. And then in the evening at the gospel service at 7, Reverend David Brown, who serves on the mission board, Minister of Larne, past a student assistant here, is coming to preach the word. And again, missionary reports from around the world will be viewed. Thank you indeed for your tithes and offerings for God's work. Today we come to let the Bible speak, and the missionary support envelopes for those who give to our missionaries this way. I got a very encouraging text from Philip Collerwood this morning, and he said that this past year, as far as he knows, it's probably the greatest year of giving to missionary work that we've ever had in the 70 years of our history. And all we can say is to God be the glory, great things he has done. If I'm right from my memory, I can look it up on my phone, but it was £89,300 of an income for the year towards missionary work. You know what that means? If anybody has £700, it'll make it up to £90,000. All right. So there you go. There's a new flower rota for the year 2022, and perhaps you can help with this. Some of you do. Maybe others can come on board if you can see our sister Diane McLean. Not sure, Diane, if there's a rota on the... There is. So on the notice board, you could even fill your name in there or see Diane. Either way. The free will envelopes and the missionary support for the incoming year are now available. Some of you will have already got that at the watch night service and coming through this morning. There has been a major review of this, and we've cut down on the envelope. So you might have been issued a new number. Just check that. It's not a mistake if you've got a new number, because we're trying to keep the numbers, as far as envelopes are concerned, to a minimum. And that is saving us £300 or £400. So we're thankful about that. We want to express our sympathy to our sister Anna Curry and to her family in the passing of her sister-in-law, who was buried yesterday, and our thoughts are with this family. Also, sincere sympathy to the Reverend and Mrs. Patterson on the passing of Malcolm's father. He has been declining in health, and in the past week he was going downhill, and the Pattersons were trying to make arrangements to come home to be with him and in the declining days of his life. And sadly, they tested positive for COVID, and that means they can't fly, they can't be home, so they didn't get home to see his father, and they'll not be able to get back for the funeral. And that adds a dimension of sorrow to what they're already experiencing. So do remember the Patterson family, and continue to remember the sick of the church and the needy that we pray for. I'm not going to show all the slides that I showed on Friday night at the Watch Night service, but there are a few that some of you may not have seen. I just want to relate a few of these to you, because I know that you take a great interest in missionary work, and I know there are those that are listening in on the internet, and likewise you take an interest. And so in the village of Redcash, a little village outside the city of Timișoara, we were able to send some funding to help the many children of that school and that orphanage home. And these are just some of the pictures that were sent to us so that the children had something to take home at Christmas time. We also were able to encourage and help Pastor Sabine and Emma as they worked with the poor, and he went out and got some provisions for the poor families, so again that they had some food for Christmas, and dutifully went out and delivered it. And some of the things that we had sent over prior to this were also given out. We also had times of fellowship and preaching in Pakistan with Freya, and again emergency aid funding was used to buy food for the poor that she has association with, and also her Sunday school class. These children all received a little gift at Christmas time. In the Carmichael School, they had a wonderful Christmas program on Christmas Day. We had the opportunity to speak to the children who gathered in for a special service, and also to hear from them. And we heard from them on Friday night. We'll not play those videos. Think of Brazil, in the city of Manaus, where our brother Fred Orr laboured for Christ until the Lord called him home. Pastor Herbert is there now. He has visited this church, and he was sent some funding from our congregation to help with the poor families and the poor children that come into the Sunday schools there. So these are the kids gathering in, listening to the Word of God, and at the end receiving tokens to bring home. And they just simply say to you, as you can read, thank you. Once again, I want to say on behalf of the session committee that we wish the Hebron congregation and our friends that attend here and listen in a happy new year, trusting that it will be a blessed one for you. I'm going to sing the hymn 168, Send the Fire. Great hymn penned by General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And this is what we need. We need the power of God, the mighty fire of God coming down this year, as we shall see a little bit later. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down. And we pray that God will look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost, send the fire. And when we're asking for another Pentecost, we're simply asking for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. But that was the feature on the day of Pentecost. Scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. As we come to preach our motto text today, let's turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Good to see that Stephen has survived his set out for 24 hours. Couldn't have been easy. I know through the night I heard the wind and I heard the rain, and that maybe kept you awake as well, and you had all those elements to face. But you've done it for a good cause, and we are glad that you're here and friends with you today. Trust the Lord will bless us together. I'm going to read from verse 14 of the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whosoever we have heard, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went away, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. We're ending our reading at verse 31. That God will bless his word to your heart. Let's pray together. Almighty God and gracious Father, we give thanks for your word. The opportunity to come to it now, to be more specific about the need of this congregation as we think of the year ahead. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fall afresh on this people. Give us a tenderness of heart. Help us to drink in the word. Help us to give ourselves over to it. We pray that you'll take away the distractions, the wandering mind, those things that would push their way into our hearts and into our minds, just to take us away from God, to take us away from the word. But Lord, we pray even for this very simple thing, the power of concentration, that we might think upon your word today. Come and speak to us and minister to our hearts now, in the precious and the worthy name
of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We're taking for our modern text for the year 2022 the words that we have here in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 18. As the Lord Jesus opens up the book of God from the prophecy of Isaiah and he begins to read from that passage, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And you could take in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This particular passage of Scripture is one of the most instructive and remarkable passages that we have in the days of God's dear Son upon the earth. We find him here at the commencement of his public ministry. He has been baptized in Jordan's River by John the Baptist. We read that back in chapter 3, verse 21. He has been announced to the world as the Lamb of God. That takes us to John chapter 1, verse 29. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He began his ministry prayerfully, because in chapter 3 of Luke and verse 21 again, we're told that he's praying. He has been anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, chapter 3, verse 22. And he has received his Father's approval and blessing in verse 22 of chapter 3, when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He has been sorely tempted of the devil in the wilderness for a period of 40 days, as we read in the chapter before us. Chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us about the 40 days of the temptation. Now he's ready to begin his public ministry, his preaching ministry. He comes to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he enters into the local house of worship, the synagogue. It's the Sabbath day. He stands up to read. The minister of the synagogue hands him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Carefully and deliberately, Jesus opens the book to that passage that corresponds in our English Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. And he begins to read, as we have it recorded here in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and so forth. It is a moment of immense significance as he closes the book, hands it back to the minister, and he sits down. And we are told here that the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And I can picture the scene as I see in my mind's eye the assembled multitude gathered around the feet of the rabbi of all rabbis, listening to him read with meaning and authority this precious passage of Scripture, watching him intently with their gazing eyes and waiting for whatever exposition he is going to bring. And here is how the Lord begins. "This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears." Here is divine prophetic truth unfolding before your very eyes. Isaiah is speaking about me, says Jesus. I am the one uniquely anointed by the Spirit of God to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of blind sinners, to proclaim deliverance, and to bring liberty and freedom to those that are bruised and wounded by sin. Oh, indeed, Christ the Messiah was uniquely and powerfully anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out his divine commission in this world, to know the power of the Spirit in his life and ministry. We see the Spirit descend upon him at his baptism. Luke tells us that the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him in chapter 3, verse 22. Even as he enters into the dark temptations, and he feels the bruises and the assaults of Satan in this time, he is filled and he is directed by the Spirit of God. As verse 1 of this chapter tells us, that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now he comes to sit as the great teacher in the synagogue of Nazareth. The Holy Spirit is still upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he declares in our text, chapter 4, verse 18. Indeed, Isaiah prophesied of this on at least three occasions. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And you'll see in verse 1, it's a reference to the Messiah, to Christ's coming. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah in chapter 42 and verse 1 says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Another prophetic verse to do with Christ. And then, of course, in the chapter that we've mentioned already, chapter 61, and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings," and so forth, as we have it in that chapter. Looking back on the ministry of Christ, Peter declared in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And the words of Christ that he speaks here in Luke chapter 4, as he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," astonished his hearers. We read there in verse 20 that when the Lord closed the book, gave it back to the minister and sat down, the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And we're told in verse 22 that they wondered at his gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. Now, I want to put something to you today, here in this service, the first Lord's Day of the year, coming to this mother text. If Jesus Christ needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his ministry to carry out his mandated commission of preaching the gospel, how much more you and I? You and I, poor, weak creatures as we are. John the Baptist has something to say about this in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Luke gives emphasis to this when at the end of his gospel, he records that final meeting with Christ on the summit of Mount Olivet, where Jesus promises to send the fullness of the promised Holy Ghost. It's Luke 24 and verse 49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And this record overlaps with his record in Acts chapter 1, where the same final earthly meeting is again emphasized. So Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As you know, 10 days later, after much prayer in the upper room, the fulfillment of this promise was realized when the Spirit of God was poured out from heaven and the disciples were given the mighty unction from God to carry out their ministries of preaching the gospel. Oh, the power of God that was felt and experienced, and the wonderful results too, when thousands were converted to Christ. I have referred to this, the pouring out of the Spirit, the need for the Spirit of God in our lives, as the greatest need of the hour. We've mentioned that many times in 25 years ministry here. The greatest need for the people of God is the infilling, the baptism of the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God to descend in His fullness, baptizing His church with divine unction to carry out their God-given responsibility. Indeed, the greatest work that He has committed to His church. And what is that? It's the Great Commission. There's no greater work, brethren and sisters. I never want this church to lose sight of the greatest work committed to them by the Lord. Keep your focus steady this year. I would appeal to you with all of my heart. Don't let the devil sidetrack you to something else which is not of eternal importance and value. Some hobby horse that Satan would want you to get onto, and you just go round and round and round with that particular thing in your mind, some worldly matter that takes the focus away from God, takes the focus away from His work, takes the focus away from the souls of men that we ought to be reaching for the Lord. Don't let the devil in. Jesus is still saying to His church, you lift up your eyes and you look in the fields that are white and ready to harvest. Fields at home and fields abroad, emphasizing the Great Commission, His final plea to the church before He returned to heaven. You want to think about that? The last message to the church before Jesus ascended. Perhaps there wasn't a more important moment or a more important meeting with His disciples than the last one, as He instructed them about going into the world and preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ began His ministry by telling the congregation in the synagogue at Nazareth, in the words of our text, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This was the great work of Christ among men for His short 3.5-year ministry, to preach the gospel, and to so preach the gospel with the anointing of the Spirit of God. And this is still our greatest task in the world. And that's why I want to set it before you in this year of 2022, this great work of preaching the word. Now I want you to notice, first of all, the message with which we are entrusted. And what is the message that God has entrusted you and me with? It's the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It is the good tidings of great joy, as the angel, we're thinking about that recently at our Christmas meetings, as the angel told the shepherds, Christ came into the world to be the Savior of men, to reconcile fallen humanity unto God. And He did this by going to the center cross at Calvary, where He laid down His life in an atonement for sin. He took upon Him the punishment that we deserved. He satisfied divine justice. He shut the gates of hell, and He opened the gates of heaven for all who would repent and would believe. This indeed is good news. No, a sinner condemned already. You don't need to die in your sin. Be lost in hell forever. I want you to know that. There's many who have experienced God's salvation. There are some in this meeting and you have not. And there are some that are listening to us today on the internet. And you likewise fall into this category. You're still outside of Christ. I want you to know, praise God, a door has been opened into heaven. A remedy has been found in the person of Christ and the great work that he came to do. Forgiveness and mercy can be obtained. There is a complete salvation through the blood of Christ's cross. You need to know that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it can change your life. Change your life today on this first Sabbath of the year. This is the message that you and I as God's people are entrusted with. It's the gospel. But I want you to notice, secondly, the manner in which it is expounded. You want to mark the word preach. Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel. He was anointed by the Spirit to preach the gospel. Jesus, the blessed Son of God, was preeminently a preacher. He was the Prince of Preachers. That title rightly belongs to him, though it has been given to other men. Like Spurgeon has been called the Prince of Preachers. Chrysostom has been called the silver-tongued preacher. Men that were greatly gifted in the preaching of the word, but really the title belongs to Christ himself, because never man spake like he spoke. Nobody ever spoke with that power and authority that Jesus Christ spoke with. He constantly amazed his hearers with the sermons that he preached. The world has never seen a greater preacher than our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we should aim to be like him and to preach like him as far as it lies within us. Many of us might be tempted to say, I would love to preach like Spurgeon. And so I would. I would love to preach like Whitfield. My, he changed this United Kingdom through the preaching of the gospel. In the great evangelical awakening, as tens of thousands of people came to listen to him, and tens of thousands of people were converted. Wouldn't you love to preach like him? Many a preacher would. Or I would love to preach like D.L. Moody. What a mighty anointing he had in his ministry. When again, hundreds of thousands of people were converted through him. But the greatest preacher that you and I could ever be like is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus preached to all ranks of people, high and low, rich and poor, didn't matter their background. He preached in all places possible. He took every opportunity to preach. He was faithful, he was direct, he was gracious, he was truthful, he was earnest, he was passionate. He dealt with all the great doctrines of divine truth. Jesus preached on them all. Preached about sin. Preached about a holy God before whom man will stand one day. He preached about repentance and faith, the only way of salvation. He preached about hypocrisy. He preached about false professions. He preached on heaven and hell. He preached on the second coming. He preached on the judgment day. He preached eternal punishment. And he preached on separation. All the great truths of the gospel. He preached the whole counsel of God's word. He held back nothing. And he preached, as we'll see in a moment, by the unction of the Holy Spirit. A most important requirement. We are to proclaim the message of God. We are to spread this message. Preaching is the principal divinely ordained means of making Christ known to a perishing world. There's not another way. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that same passage tells us how God raised up preachers and sent them forth. It's God's ordained method, not only by public preaching, which of course we believe in here in the house of God and missions in the open air, wherever we can go in a public fashion to proclaim Christ, but also in private preaching. This is our witness to others, our testimony to those that are lost on a one-to-one basis. When Paul was instructing
young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to preach the word. The idea, and we've told you this before, is like gossiping the word. That's what that word means in the original language. You see two people standing at a corner and they're gossiping, they're talking to one another in a good way. Or sitting on a summer seat and they're chatting to one another. That's the way we are to get the message of the gospel out. Gossiping the word, preaching the word in a private way. We must be engaged in this mighty business for God. Do not shun to declare the glorious gospel to perishing sinners. In your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood. Let the zealous determination of Christ engulf your soul this year. For Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. I trust that will be burned into your soul as you go out to preach the word and be about your Father's business in these days. I want you to notice thirdly the might with which we need empowered. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is the mighty power that we need. The Holy Spirit of God sent down from above. I have referenced already the fact that Jesus on earth in his humanity needed the anointing of the Spirit for his preaching. How much more you and I, weak creatures of the dust. The Holy Spirit is the indispensable power that we need in all our gospel communication. Work that is done in the flesh will accomplish little or nothing. But that same work done in the Spirit will accomplish mighty things for God. You want to pray to that end. You pray that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And pray that God will fill this preacher with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, I would say to the congregation today, you pray your preacher on fire for God this year. And I'll be glad to receive that fire from God. Jesus said, ye shall receive power. My friend, have you got the power of the Holy Ghost? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No wonder the disciples shut themselves away for 10 days prior to Pentecost. And then when the Spirit of God came and they were filled with his power, out into the streets of Jerusalem they went fearlessly and unashamedly and powerfully to preach the word. Oh, it's not by human might. It's not by human power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is said that Charles Spurgeon climbed the 15 steps leading up into the pulpit at the Metropolitan Tabernacle while he muttered at each step, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Each step that he took. Well, I only had 2 steps coming from the minister's room, but I did pray that. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon exhorted his students to depend on the Holy Spirit in preaching. He said, if there is to be a divine result from God's word, the Holy Spirit must go forth with it. Stephen Alford contended, only the Holy Spirit can transform a manuscript into a message. How can we preach messages that bring divine results? The answer lies in a fresh and continual dependence on the Holy Spirit. It was Leonard Ravenhill who said, with all thy getting, get unction. And this is what he wrote in his book, Why Revival Tarries. The tragedy of this last hour is that we have too many dead men in the pulpits, giving out too many dead sermons to too many dead people. There is a strange thing that I have seen, even in the fundamentalist circles. It is preaching without unction. What is unction? I hardly know what it is, but I know what it is not. Or at least I know when it is not upon my soul. Preaching without unction kills instead of giving life. The unctionless preacher is a savor of death unto death. The word does not live unless the unction is upon the preacher. Preacher, with all thy getting, get unction.
Brethren, we could well manage to be half as intellectual if we were twice as spiritual. Preaching is a spiritual business. A sermon born in the head reaches the head. A sermon born in the heart reaches the heart. A spiritual preacher will, under God, produce spiritually minded people. Unction is not a gentle dove beating her wings against the bars outside of the preacher's soul. Rather, she must be pursued and won. Unction cannot be learned, only earned by prayer. Unction is God's knighthood for the soldier preacher who has wrestled in prayer and gained the victory. Victory is not won in the pulpit by firing intellectual bullets or wise cracks, but in the prayer closet. The meeting is won or lost before the preacher's foot enters the pulpit. Unction is like perfume. Unction is like dynamite. Unction comes not by the medium of the bishop's hands, neither does it mildew when the preacher is cast into prison. Unction will pierce and percolate. It will sweeten and soften when the hammer of logic and the fire of human zeal fail to open the stony heart. Unction will succeed. And this is the might. This is the might I need. This is the might that you need to preach the gospel. And then one final thought. And it's the mission field to which we must engage. And you notice these things. I'm not going to deal with them at length. But Jesus mentions the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, and the bruised. These terms all describe a lost world which is dying in sin. We often speak about poor, lost sinners. And that's right. Sin impoverishes. A man may have much of this world's wealth and yet be poor, indeed bankrupt. And you can read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had it all in life, but he was bankrupt. Lazarus had nothing in life, but he was enriched by the gospel of grace. Jesus speaks of the brokenhearted, and there is no doubt that sin breaks hearts. And we see this all around us in a sorrowful world. Broken hearts, broken lives, broken bodies, broken families, broken promises, broken marriages, broken relationships. Sinners are enslaved to sin. They are captives. They are held by Satan in the prison house of sin, and they cannot break free. Sinners are blind, and they cannot see. They cannot see the truth of God's word. They cannot see their true condition before God. And they cannot see the hell to which they are running as fast as their feet can carry them. And sinners are bruised. Bruised by the fall. And bruised by their sins that encompass their life every day. And my dear friends, this is our mission field. Brethren and sisters, this is where the Lord wants us to go to. And I see these poor, brokenhearted, blind, and bruised captives all around me every day. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon us, so that we might preach the gospel this year and preach it to this great mission field, to the poor, brokenhearted, captives, the blind, and the bruised, for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Father, write your word upon our hearts. Don't let us forget this text. May it burn itself into our heart every day this year. Well, we ask in Jesus' name that we'll be like Christ himself, and that the Spirit of God will be upon us to preach the gospel. Take us from this house of God today and out into the year ahead to be that ambassador for Christ, to be his representative in the gospel, and to preach to a dying world. And Lord, there are those, and they're dying in their sin in this very meeting today, and they're out of Christ without a Savior. And Lord, they don't care. It seems they don't care. And they're running, oh God, to a Christless hell as fast as their feet can carry them. We pray for awakening grace. Indeed, we pray for the baptism of the Spirit to be in our witness to them, that the Lord will help us to go to these poor, blind sinners, give them the gospel,
And as we do so, Lord, may that gospel be backed home by the power of Almighty God, and may it live in their soul and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, hear us as we pray, and bless us in a few minutes' time around the Lord's table today, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. In light of that, let's call them in this year. 504 is the hymn. Call them in, the poor, the wretched, sin-stained wanderers from the fold. Peace and pardon freely offered. Can you weigh their worth with gold? Call them in. That's our duty, to call them in unto Christ. Staying for the Lord's table, you can feel at liberty to leave just now, and our sisters will play a little bit just to allow that to happen, and we'll get organized here at the front for the Lord's table. Thank you.